Any question in regard to the topic? No. It comes to that. Give me the water. No. Sorry? No, I'm going with the Ministry of Islamic Affairs. Inshallah. No, 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 no. No. It is no problem to make the upper garment held by a button or a clip or whatsoever. No problem, because it is not a dress in a way. It is not a dress. The hizam, yani what? Some of the ulama allowed it. Some of the ulama, they say, I didn't see it, but they say that Sheikh Uthaymeen allowed sewing the lower garment, yani to be not only top from the side and top and make buckets. And I really did not see this. I did not see it from Sheikh Uthaymeen, but I say, yani, even if Sheikh Uthaymeen said it, there are many other ulama say this is not correct. It's ijtihad from the Sheikh, if it is said, I don't know, but somebody told me that Sheikh Uthaymeen said it. As I read of his books, I never come across it, but they say that he said it. But I say even, it's an ijtihad. It's not a something from the Quran or Sunnah, but ijtihad from the Sheikh. Most of the ulama say no, it should not be, it should not be done this way. Wallahu a'lam. But to hold it with a belt or something, no problem.
So it is better not to have any stitches or any.
No stitches, no. Yes. No. No, stitches does not mean that. Okay, stitches. Makhir. Yes, the shape of the body. The shape of the body. The shape of the body. But if your ihram clothes cut and you stitch it, no problem. No. But it should not be on the shape of the body. Like the lower garment, as we said, you do not stitch it from the side and arm and put elastic inside. So this becomes like the normal lower garment. But you just fold it and then that's it. Now. Assalamu alaikum.
So what I'm saying is, I didn't see any evidence of it being an Islamic cult. I saw the evidence of it being people of this region living in a desert environment wearing a clothing that was conducive to what they did. People were camels. They lived in the desert. They wore clothing that was conducive. So my thinking, I'm pointing to the mission where the snow gets to be 2 feet, 3 feet deep. And I would say to anyone in that environment, you can't walk around with your pants above your ankles in that kind of a snow. You can't walk around the sand. This is useless in that environment. So I'd like if you please explain what you mean by the total of the two parts. and the clothes is based upon your environment, where you live, and what protects you from heat, sun, or snow, or rain, or whatever environment may be. And anything that you're doing in that capacity, you seem to me to be reasonable, as opposed to saying, well, I'm living in Alaska, and I should wear those. Or that there's some Muslim attire that I need to be wearing when I'm living in Alaska. Please, if you don't mind.
Okay. Jazakallah khair. We can elaborate on that a little bit. In regard to, as you just said, that when the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina and he found that the Yahud and the Christians wearing turban, he told them, distinguish yourself by using the kufi. Correct? Right. So there is a distinction.
Right.
And he called for distinguishing. Right? We say for those who live like in places as what we said, that whether it is the weather requires that you wear such clothes, right? Like if it is snowing, or we don't say, oh well, yani, you have to show your shin, but the clothes itself got to be above the ankle. And we did not say half of shirt, but above the ankle. As Rasulullah said, he said, if it is, and if you insist to make it lower than the half of the shin, then not below the ankle. And now, when you wear a boat, big one, long, yani, boot, when you wear long boot, then you are covering that area and you are protecting yourself. So why you need to extend it lower than?
But on the hadith, about the clothes, some individuals, he said that your clothes are beneath the ankle, and everything beneath the ankle is deep in the fire. Umar was about one who said, Rasulullah, my clothes extend beneath the ankle. And he said, yeah, but you're not arrogant. He said, yeah, because you have a small waist. So even his sahab, the clothes, fell beneath the ankle. The Prophet made a distinction between, he said, clothes fall beneath the ankle for natural reason, or clothes fall beneath the ankle because of arrogance. And also, when the Yahud, when the Prophet was still covered, the Muslims wear the kufi. He was still covered. So you can see the kufi. When the turban on, the kufi was still covered. I never come across this hadith, just as you said.
Where he said you put a kufi, but if you put kufi, the turban doesn't cover it. It's not like this shemah. The turban goes around. You still see the kufi. But in regard to the hadith of lower garment, yani the dress goes lower. First of all, it's not Umar, it's Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr Siddiq came to Rasulullah, yeah, and he said, but look to what he said. He said, Ya Rasulullah, my trouser, my pants is wide, and every time it drops, I raise it. He said, then this is not kifr. So he is struggling. He's struggling not to make it go lower. He did not go to the tailor and ask him, or he go buy pants from the shop, and he find it long and he leave it like that. La. Umar, Abu Bakr didn't do that. Abu Bakr didn't do that. And let me tell you something. And that's why, Akhwan, I say, we have to understand the deen by studying all the hadith. Cannot just pick one hadith. Otherwise, easily I can come out of the deen. Easily I can do nothing as a religion. Because I can take, yani, for example, I can pray Dhuhr and Asr every day because of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I have a hadith. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did that in Medina, not in trouble, no rain. But is that correct? No, it is not correct. Because we take the hadith all together. We understand the hadith by having the understanding of all other hadith. Now, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on the Battle of Al Khandaq, it was very cold and windy. And he sent Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman to the side of the Kuffar. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm feeling very cold because my clothes are too short. He did not say to one of the Sahaba, give him long clothes. But he made dua for him that Allah Ta'ala make it easy for him. He could easily say to one of the Sahaba, give him some clothes. Right? So Abu Bakr did not wear it intentionally long. But he wanted it to be above the ankle, but because the cloth was wide in the waist, so it used to fall and he grab it. Every time it goes down, he grab it up. So he's fighting against it. He's fighting against it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in regard to the clothes going down, he said, how many hadith? As I remember, 3 hadith. Only one of them, he mentioned the kibr. What the ulama say about that? They say, there is no one wear the clothes willingly lower than this, except with kibr. Except with kibr. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the other hadith, he did not mention the kibr to avoid it. Because it will end into kibr. It will lead you to the kibr. Because this was found that only the people of kibr, the kuffar and people of kibr, who prefer to wear it like that. Otherwise, why do you want to wear it long? Why do you want to wear it long?
Now
there are. Okay, there are. Sorry, there are. If you ask me, I'm telling you, there are hadith. Who said that there are not? There are. There are hadith. When the Prophet ﷺ saw a man showing his tie, and he said, the tie is awra. Tie is awra. So what about the awra which is awra? So there are hadith, but that's what I said. When we want to understand the hadith, we need to look into all the hadith, or the majority of the hadith that talks about such subject, so we can have the proper understanding. Because the hadith were said based on accidents. And each hadith, it's not, Rasulullah was not an author, he wrote a book. Or wrote a book. No, but he was teaching the people. And as the revelation comes. So, this hadith was said to this man for this incident. And the other hadith was said like that. So, we cannot take this hadith and independently and go on. But we have to gather them all to understand. And to avoid the contradiction between the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu a'lam.
Can you explain more about what is
kafir? The
kuffar? Yeah, what is the kuffar called?
Something special of the kuffar. Let's now take the suit. Is the suit something special of the kuffar or for Muslims?
I don't know. I have no idea.
You're from America, you don't know?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
The suit, I think they're clothing. Mm.
If you are on the 8th day.
So my question becomes, are these clothing made inside of
No, I'm asking you, on the eighth day, what do you want to do? Overhauled? Coveralls?
No, I'm talking in general. Not
in general, okay. No, because it's very, you mentioned certain skills. You mentioned certain skills, farmer, mechanics, etc. Yes, these are. I used to be a mechanic. I used to be an air conditioning mechanic. And I used to wear the overalls. Go walk. When the salah comes, I take off my coveralls and I wear my thawb and pray in my thawb. Because this is my Muslim thawb. That is not my clothes. That is my working clothes. That is my working clothes. And that is only for a certain time and that's it, finished. I don't take it as a cloth in the Eid and in the wedding and in everywhere I wear it. No, it's not correct. And you don't see people like the mechanic or the farmer wearing the clothes of his work everywhere he goes. They don't wear it like that. We are talking about the suit. The suit now. In many Muslim countries, you see them wearing suit. And some Muslims, when they go to the land of Kuffar, they wear suit. What does that mean? When they are in the Muslim countries, they are wearing the Muslim clothes. But when they go to the Kuffar countries, they wear suit. This means that they have the understanding that this is the cloth of that place. We don't say what at all. Excuse me. We said Muslim clothes. You have the thawb in the Arab countries. You have the lower garment like in India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, in Yemen, and like these places, in Ethiopia, and they were the, what they call it, the longi, or in Indonesia, the lower garment. Futa. Excuse me. You have the Sudanese style top, or you have the Turkish clothes. Why? And these are Muslim clothes, like the Moroccan burnous, or special Muslim clothes. That's correct. Can you tell me now?
The Ethiopians and the Indians and the Bangladeshis and the Yemenis and the Somalians and all the other people, when Islam came to those environments, did those people say, hey, we have to take our clothing now and change to something new?
Okay.
That's what I'm asking. But was it their natural clothing and they made adaptation to be Muslims now? So this about our clothing we can't do anymore because this is not in accord with what we understand of Islam. Or did they
the only thing is, the only thing we have is the Muslim has to be distinguished from the non-Muslims. First of all, if a person become a Muslim in the land of Kuffar, he must not stay there. Don't tell me this is my land. This is Islam. Islam says that you don't stay there. You have to leave because it's not only clothing. Beginning from clothing to the culture, to the practices of Islam, you are going to be seen weak there. Yes?
Okay, so I'm sorry. I see Muslims in the West, in my mind.
Do they call, excuse me, do they call Adhan outside? Can they?
Yes, they do.
Where? Okay, let me ask you. How many states in the United States? No, 52. Or 51, I think. 50? Right. How many states allow calling Adhan outside? No. I'm sorry, I don't think that you know. Sorry, I don't think you know.
There's no law
Type, let's forget the states. Okay, forget the states. The state is not the whole world. I'm talking about the world. I'm talking about the global. Not the states. I'm not so worried about the states. It's not my concern. It's one country of the whole countries. We are talking about Muslims scattered all around the world. Now, okay, in other than the states. The state is noble, humble, good, everything, another house of Muslims. Now, tell me, the neighborhood, Canada. I've been to Canada. No adhan is to be called outside. No one allowed, if the masjid is full, no one allowed to pray outside, even if there is a space. You know that? I've been to Canada. So, I'm talking about the globe, not about your place. You know your place better. You know your place better. But I'm talking about the... Yeah.
So
now, can you excuse me? Excuse me. Bilal did go to back to his country, no?
He left.
He didn't leave. He went to Damascus. He went to Damascus because the Khilafah was there, and the Khalifa was there. That's it. No one of the Sahaba left to live in a kafir country. No single one. No single one. Unless it is conquered and became ruled by Muslims. That's the only reason why they left. Other than that, you don't see any single Sahaba, not Sahaba, even Tabi'i, lived in a kuffar land. Not even one. Take it from me and go search. Not even one. And even if happened, Rasulullah said something. Should I leave what he said for what Bilal did, for example? Would Bilal know better than Rasulullah? Rasulullah said, "Al-ana bari'un min muslimin ya'ishu bayna dharani al-kuffar." I'm free from the Muslim who lives amongst the kuffar. He said that. He also said, "Al-mu'minu wal-kafir la tatara'a narahuma." The believer and the non-believer, their fires, meaning when they cook, because this is how they used to do outside cook, must not see the fire of each other. Meaning, the distance between them must be that far, to limits that you, in the dark night, you can't see their fire. I don't say that. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that. If you want to refute somebody, you can refute Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
I don't see that as soon as was to stay among people.
Where? Show me. Show me. He didn't stay,
yeah. He stayed among the Arabs.
He didn't stay. From the first times they migrated to Habasha. Akhi, you want to argue? Okay, I told you. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a prophet. He waited for the revelation. The companions, including Uthman ibn Affan and others, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, they left Mecca. They went to Habasha. Yes, Habasha was the land of Kuffar. But he told them. By the revelation, he told them. All the land. Where do you want him to go to if all the lands are kuffar? But when he found Medina became a land of Islam, did he stay? He didn't stay. He left it. And he blamed one of the Sahaba, returned back to Mecca and died in Mecca. He said Sa'd ibn Khawla is miskeen because he returned and died there. He said Al-Ba'isu Sa'd ibn Khawla. He returned back to Mecca before it was conquered. But after it was conquered, no problem. Because it became a land of Muslims. Land of Muslims. Akhi, in the States, if you have a problem, to which law you are going to go? Is there any Islamic law you can use? To whatever. If some, let me speak frankly. If a woman did zina, to where are you going to go complain? And the zina is more widely than anywhere else in the world in the States is used. It's used in the States more than anywhere in the world. More than anywhere in the world. And they support it. If your daughter, when she becomes 18, chooses to go and sleep with someone, you cannot do nothing. Can you?
No,
so where is Islam?
What country, what Muslim country can I go to and get
certificate right? Saudi Arabia. These are from the difficulties that Allah Ta'ala said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ.
Now I have a son, a daughter, going on 20. I have no rights here. She has to get, but I have to leave the country or put her on someone else's field.
Then we go back to square one. You supposed not to live amongst the kuffar. If you live amongst the kuffar, you should show your dignity. You should show it on yourself, on your family. If you say that, oh, it's to the environment, what about your family? Are you going to make them wear like the women there in the States because not to be different? Your wife, your daughter, how they are going to dress in the States? Why? They are different from the American then. The other American. So why it is a problem for you to wear like other Muslims? Why it is a problem for you?
I understand the problem. Just like I said, I didn't see a necessity. What is Muslim attire? I thought the Muslim attire was just modesty and dress. I didn't know that wearing a Muslim certain attire made you Muslim. And what I understand from you is that, like I said, every people that embraced Islam, every culture that embraced Islam, I saw no evidence of any of those people changing their culture. That's all from the history of Malaysia, from the history of Ethiopia, from the history of Sudan, from the history of Arabia, from the history of Pakistan, from the history of India. Now, every country that embraced Islam, I just saw that those people took whatever clothing they were wearing in their environment, modified it before the Islamic rule. I didn't see any saying that there is such thing as Islam or Muslim culture. That's all I said. If I'm wrong, please correct.
Now, we were talking about the suit. Am I right? We were talking about the suit. Is the suit normal clothes for everybody? No.
I don't know.
I'm telling you. Okay, you don't know. I'm telling you. No, it is not. Correct me if I'm wrong. The necktie, this tie, is a sign of Christianity. It's not a sign of West or modern life. Or it's a Christianity. You need to read the history to know. Father.
Choose to go against the dress code, and I'm going to go because I choose to wear it. Thank you.
I don't. No. Wait. I never said. First of all, who said that? Who dictated that? What the sheikh said that? Which sheikh said they have to wear the suit because you are Muslim? Am I talking about my company? I'm talking about religion. I'm talking about ilm. I'm not talking about companies and governments. I'm talking. What did I say to him? If you are forced to something, like if I told you that I used to wear overall because it's not because my company's policy, but the job that I'm doing does not allow me to wear throw. The job itself, not the company, but the job. I cannot work in machines with throw. It might catch it. It might catch my gutra and then kill me. So for that reason, I used to wear my overalls for safety. Now, what you said is correct, and it is fact, and it is happening. And not only because you are not Saudi, and if you are Saudi, wear thawb. Now I tell you something. Saudi Airlines, you go to the terminal here and you see the Saudis working for Saudi Airlines. What do they wear? Is this allowed? It is not allowed. The ulama were asked and the ulama said it is not allowed. Now whether people obey and do or not, this is up to them. The judgment is there. Allah will ask them, were you told or not? Yes, we were told. Then why? If he is an officer, like in the terminal, and he is wearing a tie and a suit, where he still can work with top, he's working on computer printing a ticket. What is it need for a tie and a suit? What is it? We don't know. What is the need for it? The ulama said it is not allowed. It's not allowed. It's only imitating. Even in Saudi Airlines, it's only imitating. They think it's not for protection, but they think that the Western looking is better. They think that the Western looking is better. It's not a matter of, oh, the work needs it, or yani, your type of work needs it. It is a weakness of iman. Some of the brothers who used to work for Saudi Airlines and they studied knowledge and they become students of knowledge, they resigned. They said, no, Allah is the Razzaq, He is the sustainer, He will provide you sustenance. If you allow me to work this way, I'll come. If you don't, I don't want to stay. They said no. Why not? There is not any good reason for why he cannot work in the terminal just on the computer with the thumb. I don't know why. Only the imitating of the kuffar. Only imitating of the kuffar, nothing else. The environment here is not environment of suits, as you see. Most of the people, 90% of the people wear thobes. So why they force them to wear suit? It's the mentality of imitating. That's it. And nothing else. Nothing else. No. He has a question about Manasseh.
Can you touch on the difference? You had mentioned, I think, that
Well, the sunnah, the order as the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallam is to stone, shave, slaughter, and then tawaf. But he Sallam was asked. Somebody came and said, "Ya Rasulullah, I did tawaf before I stoned." He said, "No, no marawa." Until at the end, he said, as the Sahabi said, that he wasn't asked about anything on that day was good before the other, except he said, "Do and no harm on you." So if you want the sunnah is like that. They call it ranhat. Ranhat. Ra for rami, stoning. Noon for nahat, slaughtering. Ha for halq, shaving. Ta for tawaf. So this is the order. Now, but we have a hadith, Sheikh. How come? We have a hadith, for example, in regard to colors. Islam came and found that the kuffar prefers, at that time, wearing red color, pure red. Islam said forbidden. Don't wear pure red, except for women. Islam came and found them also wearing plain yellow. He said, no plain yellow. That is only for women. Okay. So if we want to take it by that understanding, then we say also silk. Silk is mentioned that it is used for kibr, urg. So if we say, okay, I can use it because I don't have urg. I'm not using it, but I like it. We say, no. No. And the Prophet ﷺ said about silk and gold, these are for the kuffar. Look at that. These are for the kuffar. He did not mention nationality or custom, but it is the kuffar. The kuffar use this because using gold for men and silk for men will lead them to kibr necessary. Exactly like extending the garment below the ankle. I never heard of it. Tell the hadith. Amen. If you come, please bring it. What are these ones?
I can't pronounce the
name. I really don't. Okay, no problem. Look, I don't claim that I know everything, but I say if you have the hadith, jazakallah khair.
So it makes sense to me if the Prophet said gold is not to be worn, then if silk was being traded as gold, it would make sense that the silk would not be worn as gold. Because it's being used as money, like the gold.
So no. That's not the reason. That's not the reason.
I don't know if this is what my scholar is doing on this stuff.
Who's that? Who's that scholar?
The name of the scholar.
We want to evaluate it,
okay,
but we don't.
At the center of the Shreva Center, they talked about the same subject. His name is
Hamoud al-Shamimi.
Yes, he said on the silk, he said the same. He said that you were allowed to wear manufactured silk, but not silk from the
world. Manufactured silk is not silk.
Yeah.
Manufactured silk. Now look, where the manufactured silk? Does it make you feel arrogant?
No.
If you go under the sun, if you go under the sun, it'll be burned because it's nylon.
Yeah, but today, I don't think that anybody, I don't know anybody that wears anything about manufactured silk. But when I'm growing up in the West, as a Muslim, no one made this distinction to me. They said silk is haram. That meant that I had manufactured silk clothing that I threw away. No one said, no, we don't need manufactured silk, we need from the world. This distinction was never made. This distinction is not in any book that I read. It wasn't until I came over here.
Any book that you read in English. Am I right?
Correct.
Okay. The ulama do not write in English. This is one main problem with those translators. Unfortunately.
The people that teach, like yourself, that talk to us in English. And again, that distinction wasn't made to me, so I meant to say the book. It was not talking about the silk.
Anyway, as I told you, the Prophet ﷺ forbid these things for this reason, for kibr. And from the way people know and how they live, it was found that it leads to kibr. Necessary. Even look to the kuffar. You see a rich kafir, singer or whatsoever, putting lots of golden rings in hands and chains. And what is that? It's only style? No. It's only kibr to show people. Oh. It's the kibr. Sorry?
What about the person who doesn't wear the gold but makes a car of gold, but makes a car of silver, or have statues outside of his house made of gold and silver? What about the people who do the same thing?
What do you think?
I think it's wrong.
I agree with you 300%. It's wrong.
He's a Muslim.
I know. Was Rasulullah talking to the kuffar? Rasulullah was talking to the Muslim, the best Muslim, the Sahaba. These teachings for Muslims, for you and I. And the mistakes are found with the Muslims. Like, there is a question here written. What about the woman dress? The malls are full of clothes imitating Western women. Right? Nowadays, they are even wearing skirts above their knees amongst the women and their family. Are they exposing the aura? They are exposing the aura. Why do Arab women copy the white wedding dress? It is from the West. Wallahi, if you are asking me why these people are doing it, then you are wrong. You should not direct the question to me. Go and ask them. But if you ask me about the ruling, or whether the ulama spoke against it or not, then I tell you yes, the ulama spoke. And they said the ring of the engagement is wrong. And that is from the West. They said the white dressing and the Cinderella dress is wrong. I say all this wrong. But now, there is a problem, ikhwan. There is a problem. You know what? And even sometimes, and for example, I found it that some people take mistakes happening or seen with the Muslims to be as a dalil for them to do the mistake. And for example, somebody came to me and he said, and we were talking about the muaddin calling for the takbir and in salah behind the imam in Mecca and Medina. I said, this is wrong. He said, wow, wrong. Mecca and Medina doing it. I said, so what? Mecca and Medina doing it, so what? And if Mecca and Medina are doing something, this would be right? That's not logic, Akhi. The dalil is not Mecca and Medina doing. When Ibn Abbas talked to the people, and he said, Rasulullah is doing this, they said, Abu Bakr and Umar, he said, Yushik an tanzil alaykum hijar min as-sama. It is about that stones shower you from the heavens. I tell you, Rasulullah said, you say Abu Bakr and Umar, subhanAllah. Now guess what? Not Abu Bakr and Umar, Mecca and Medina. Subhanallah. La, shuf. You don't know, you ask about ruling is one thing, but you argue that's another thing. That guy was arguing. Oh no, if it is not allowed, why in Medina? Why in Mecca?
The question becomes, in outside Saudi Arabia, the Muslims foot to foot don't get down in Saudi Arabia, saying, you can't damage back to Medina, it must be okay. This is the general consensus of the people.
That's correct.
Up until you see
someone who has more knowledge than you and you ask him. Then you don't argue by, oh, but Mecca and Medina.
No,
the guy who spoke to me was arguing. The guy who spoke to me about the Muaddin repeating after the Adhan was arguing.
I think if you went to the United States and went to someone who's a Messiah's fair, where you go in there and the imam comes up and you hear someone behind him repeating, they have installed this or some message, besides this in the United States, they copy this. Now, if you were to go there and say, this is not correct, you will get the same argument. You say, this is not in Mecca Medina, it must be right. If they can say, Mecca Medina, it's D2. It's what I think you're arguing. I don't think there's a
right.
They say, no, you can't be.
I say that they are right. Because the Imams in Mecca Medina are more knowledgeable than me. Of course, they're not going to take my speech and leave what they, Mecca Medina, do. But when I say, look, Sheikh Ibn Baz said it is not correct. Sheikh Uthaymeen said, why do they still argue? Yani, is this possible that the Imams in Mecca and Medina more knowledgeable than Ibn Baz, Uthaymeen, and Albani?
It is done.
But it is done for necessity. When the Muslims came in large numbers, of course, the Prophet cannot, and his voice cannot reach all. So he assigned someone to, after number of words to say Allahu Akbar after him. So people behind here. But today, see the speakers. We can hear the Imam better than we hear the Muaddin behind him. Because the Imam is saying, yani, in a right level of voice, Allahu Akbar. But that guy is, Allahu Akbar, he's even annoying us. He's annoying us. He's using the same speakers to shout. Well, the Imam is using the speakers that can make everybody hear Allahu Akbar. Halas, enough. But it is, yani, it's a habit, you know. But I mean, people argue for like these things. Oh, Mecca and Medina. Mecca and Medina. And even, for example, the dua of Khatm al-Quran, when they end the Quran in Ramadan. This dua, although Sheikh Ibn Baz, Sheikh Uthaymeen, and Albani, and others, Bakr Abu Zayd, said that this is not from the Sunnah. But yet people argue because Mecca and Medina is still doing it. So, Mecca and Medina doing it, they maybe they have their reasons. But it is not, we are told to follow the Sunnah, not the people. Yeah, I'm sure. Now, okay. What is the What is the Muslim in the Western country?
Someone who's only given down or therefore studying or the
medical condition. La la la, what is the Muslim? Identify a Western Muslim. Is he different from the Eastern Muslim?
No.
Is he human like him? Same religion like him? So why is there something special? Look, first of all, Sheikh al-Islam Taymiyyah spoke about this very widely in his book Iqtida al-Salat al-Mustaqim, and disputing from the Ashab al-Jahim, meaning the Yahud and Christians. And he spoke about the haircut, the dressing, which is very, very special. And yes, let's say today, trousers and shirt is not so very special. Many others, like Africans who are up on idol worshipping, wear it. Indians maybe wear Sikh and wear it. And Muslims, some countries wear it, okay. But to go for the very specific, the necktie, and like these very special clothes, that's an imitating. And that's why Sheikh Albani, when he came to London, and he was hosted by somebody who's a scholar, wearing a necktie. I said to him, what is this, wearing a necktie? He did not say, why you are wearing pants and shirt, because, especially at that time, yet the thobes and the, it's not common. But at least why you are wearing the necktie? And distinguish yourself. There must be some type of distinguishing. You know what was his answer? He said, we want to distinguish ourselves from the Palestinians because the Palestinians are not liked here. And they don't wear necktie. See the excuse? Very silly. Very silly. So, why Sheikh Albani appointed the necktie? Although Sheikh Albani was asked about somebody works in Muslim country wearing trouser, not a tie, but a trouser and a shirt, he said he should leave this job if they force him to wear it. We don't go with this fatwa because we think that it is not possible. We hope that Muslims wear Islamic clothes, but we say at least if it is must, trouser and shirt. Why the tie? What can the tie do with it? Why the tie? That's a different thing.
Yeah.
That's even here.
But if you made a statement, you said it was religious. Now, for me, I refuse to wear anything that's connected with another religion. So if I can verify that, then I'm not going to wear it.
I will bring you the verification.
The tie
is a form of religion in Christianity.
I can show you.
I can't show
you.
Okay. I'll show you that.
Okay.
I will show you that. But back again to the first thing, which is wearing the cloth below the ankle. This has nothing to do with the special clothes for kuffar or We are told not to make it lower than the anchor. And that's it. Yeah. Right. He didn't answer my question.
Can I just move on to 67? Regarding the time when I was meeting the shepherd, invited me to point it out regarding the statement of social violence. And the person he was talking about, and he told me directly, said the whole situation. And going back to the time, the origins of the time, as I can recall reading it, from the history of the Crusaders,
yeah.
They had to take someone else to wear the red medal, holding it from England, they should make the church. Later on, they evolved the chain, they took their clothes and they started changing. But they wanted to keep the cross from their Buddhist cup. Either they would have a wooden stick, even there in England, they have wooden stick in their cars, or they would have something there in pocket, in the chain. So the way, and I'm just reading a long, it was a big book of history regarding the clothing and the taking of the Crusaders. And they said, to make it later on, by time of change, to make it something which would stay with them to remind themselves of the Trinity. But when you take the time, you take the time. I can't remember where this idea I come from. But when you take the time, you bring it. And when you fold it, it's a threefold. Threefold of the Trinity comes onto it. And you have the threefold that comes down. And the time signifies the cross. Because cross is not like this. It's not a plus sign. Cross goes down. It goes down, not left. So if you look at the tree, this is the Trinity when you cut it like this, and it goes down. And that's the cross of the time. The both have the above, the signal of this time. The time is the signification of the Trinity which goes down. You make the tree.
The bow tie is the one originally for waiters. Small one? Yeah. Okay. What I want you to do is, there is on the internet, if you just type types of cross and see how many, based on each school, based on each school. Yeah. Yani, we don't talk, we didn't, yani, today, we believe that there was. Are not religious anymore. They are away from religion. They are not practicing. Yani they are, what do you call that?
Secular.
Not just the West, but I mean, because we are talking about Christianity, but they still, although that, maybe they don't go, they don't believe in the church, they don't, but they still. Whatever they do, something good, they do their sign. You know? This means that they are still having it. You know? So, maybe today, wearing the tie means nothing to them. Means nothing to them, related to religion. But the origin of it is that.
That's what counts, the origin.
Yeah.
I don't look at what something we do today. I look at the custom. I look at where it originated.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't touch things like that. So if it's
more than
a church, I can't be a part of that.
No.
So if I know that,
I'm out
of it.
Exactly. That's great. Alhamdulillah.
Will
you
allow me? Huh? Will you allow me? I need to verify that.
Yeah?
Verify that. Regarding the ties, as Abu Umair has mentioned, I've read it. When you read the history of it, basically people are using it as a protection to protect them about something from the evil or whatever, and that's why they're using those crosses. Allahu a'lam. And Sheikh Al-Albani mentioned it regarding the trousers below the ankle. I can't remember exactly which sheikh, whether Sheikh Al-Utaymin or Sheikh Ibn Baz, one of the great scholars. I remember once they were talking about the death of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu when he died. And he said, as he died, he was actually on the deathbed. And he said there was a doctor who came, and there was a young guy with him who came to check him out. He said, as they were leaving, and he was dying basically, he said, as they were leaving, Umar ibn al-Khattab, and he was dying. He saw the young guy with his belt below the ankle. And he said, call me that young guy. And they called him. And he spoke to him in a very nice way. I mean, especially the Arabic, it's really nice, like the way he said it. And he said, I'll say it in Arabic, inshallah, and then explain it. And he said, Ya Ghulam, irfa' thawbak. Athqa li rabbik wa amqa li thawbak. He said, oh, young guy, raise your garment above your ankle, basically. This is cleaner for your thawb and fearful to your Allah. That's one of the things, like, and they were explaining this in a nice manner. He said, even though he was dying, to show the importance, yeah, how to not to lower your garment. Wallahu a'lam, this is one of the things.
And even Umar didn't ask him, I mean, the reason if it is, yani, arrogant or not, but yani, this also will lead to something, Ikhwan. Whatever yani, the ruling given generally, we should not go to, yani, because how can I know now if Fahad lowering his toe based on kibr or not? This is something in the heart. And whatsoever in the heart, we are not told to judge it because we cannot. And that's why Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, if you really love Allah, meaning being, you are sincere to Allah, then follow me. Prove it by following me. Now, is it true that everyone, I mean, follow the sunnah, is sincere? No, not necessarily. But to us, when we see somebody who is always up on the sunnah, we only have one judgment. That is, somebody who is, inshallah, up on sincerity. And it is to Allah to judge what's in his heart. But his apparent acts is on the sunnah, and that is a proof that inshallah ta'ala is abun sincerity. But we cannot definite that is somebody who is sincere. So now, if he leaves it, if he abandons the sunnah, and he says, Akhi, I love Allah and I love Rasulullah in my heart. Say, Akhi, I cannot judge your heart. I cannot judge your heart. As Allah said, you prove it by following Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Easy, simple. And then it is between you and Allah. As Umar said about the munafiqeen, he said, we deal with them as what we see from them. And what is in their hearts is for Allah to judge them on the day of resurrection. And now, if somebody come and say, oh, but I don't put my thawb lower, below my ankle because I'm on kibr. I just do it like that. We say, Akhi, we cannot know. We cannot differentiate now. Then we should not call, we should not tell nobody nothing if we see him wearing his thawb lower, because we don't know if it is kibr or not. Or our question will be, oh, are you doing that on kibr? No. Okay, go ahead. You're kibr? No. What should I say now? Raise it or remove kibr? My proper answer should be remove kibr. Don't raise it. Make it low, no problem, but don't be up kibr. But Rasulullah did not, Umar did not say that to the boy. Yeah. Allah Allah. Now, okay. Sorry. And now we are not talking about raising it to the middle of the shin. Maybe that's sahih, where Rasulullah used to be. Rasulullah used to put it half of the shin. Maybe if you put it this way, definitely everybody sees that you are mutawwa. But we are saying just above it. So nobody will know that you are mutawwi or not mutawwi. No.
I'm 100%. I agree that because problems of some of the stuff, your pants should be, or your problems of whatever should be above your right? I don't have a argument with that for myself. I have no difficulty. I just observe, when I go to other cultures, there are Muslims in other cultures, and you can go to Ethiopia, for example, and half that country is Muslim. You never see an Ethiopian man, even in Saudi Arabia, watch the Ethiopian man. When you go to the stores, you can tell them because their pants are dragging the ground.
Yeah.
You can tell them, they're Ethiopians, but they're Muslims.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure that they've heard this idea, and that they know that. But why does this whole culture of people drag their pants on the ground? They don't wear the clothes, they wear the pants.
Yeah.
And they all shave their beards. They don't wear beard, most of them. And their toes are dragging the ground. Their pants are what we call flooded. I mean, they're not, they're just on the ground in whatever tie they wear. So I don't know in my heart or mind, are they knowledgeable of this idea?
Wallahi, they might know the hadith, but weakness of iman. We don't say that he's not a Muslim if he's not raising it, but it shows that this is a weakness of iman. When the iman goes high, of course, you will just want to be like, for example, Abdullah ibn Umar, because of his very high iman, when he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let's say Anas ibn Malik, because of his high iman, when he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chasing a certain vegetable, dubba, what do you call dubba? Dubba, ta'arifuna? Huh? It is a vegetable, it's a... Huh? Pumpkin? Anyway, it is a certain vegetable. Anna said, I didn't used to like it. I didn't used to like this type of vegetable. But when I see Rasulullah chasing it, so he said, when I saw Rasulullah chasing it on the plane, I knew that he loved it, so I started loving it. This has nothing to do with religion. But because of his high iman, just he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam love it, and the other sahabi said, when I knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved honey, I started like honey. I never used to like honey. Honey, you like honey, you don't like honey, it's up to you. It's not a religion. But because of their high iman, they wanted to do like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in everything. In everything, even in things which is not Abdullah ibn Umar, where Rasulullah urinated, he goes there and urinates. Nothing to do with that. It's only because of the love of Rasulullah. Allah. Are you from Takara? My wife. Nakara,
it's nice.
It's nice. Right. Inshallah.
Inshallah, we go for Hajj.
MashaAllah.
Any advice for the young guy? No,
is that a problem, right? If I'm not, give me from my heart, what? I'm speaking of knowledge.
Such discussions bring a lot of benefit.
Exactly. Appreciate the input. Thank you for
the argument is any two persons, right?
Yeah.
Not father and son, right?
Father and son?
Yeah. But if
he's back to the Sheikh, there's no
argument.
So every time you get a one.
You said some site about the, you guys mentioned some website about the time. What is
if you give me your email, I can send you that. Sure.
Please.
You have to email. Okay, right.
And when should she start praying?
a tumor in a period, and it is only 7 days maximum. Then if she is still bleeding on the 8th, this is the habit. She takes shower on the 7th, and by the end of the 7th, and then she prays fast, and her husband enjoy it. But for her, for prayers, she needs to make wudu for each time.
Okay. Ask the question. The question is, Sheikh, regarding the sister who has normal bleeding, menstrual bleeding, which is the first 6 or 7 days of the month. But then she has isti'ada other days. Isti'ada, which is the other days. When should she start to pray, stop the prayer, and do the ghusl and continue?
But in regard to isti'ada, when if she knows that her period, yani normally 7 days, but on the 8th day she still sees the blood, then she takes the shower, prays, fasts, and even husband can enjoy it. But for prayers, she has to take, she has to perform wudu for every prayer once the time of that prayer enters, even if she still have the wudu from the prayer behind before. She has to still, she still has to make new wudu.
Yak, YAK. It will go straight there. If WhatsApp, it takes too long. This is Yak, YAK. And you draw all of them. Sorry. You know when we're in the haram, someone dies. When we're in Makkah and Medina, someone dies, and people are rushing to hold the wooden box, and they move from one corner to another, and they're rushing. Is there any ajr to rush to grab and put it on your shoulder? Have you seen this in the haram in Makkah? We see it every.
The sunnah, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, as in the hadith of Abu Huraira, as Allah Ta'ala anhu, said that when the person prays the janazah, he will have one irad.
Yes.
And if he follows the janazah,
he will have two.
So following, even if you just walk behind them or with them until you reach the cover and the grave and the bury, you'll be, inshallah, you'll have that irad.
But I'm talking about they're pushing each other just to touch. What is this called in Arabic? They carry the, in the box they have, tonight, and on their shoulders. It's like, when you look at it, it's like there must be an ajr to put it on your shoulder, because the way they're pushing to carry it.
Whenever he hears any hadith say that.
And I would say, why do you do this?
It's, if you see that, this is common people. I never come across a hadith say that, if you carry the janazah, you will have
ajr or anything like
of course that. You will have ajr. We don't say you don't have ajr, but the determined ajr mentioned for following the janazah, and following could be carrying it, could be only with them, around them. When you are carrying with the right shoulder or left shoulder? Right shoulder, then they will raise the hasana. Sounds very strange.
Just another question. Regarding the manasik, you said it from the Quran that Allah says, the Quran says about the jidal. Now, the manasik, to my understanding, was from the 8th to the 14th. You mentioned no jidal from, you gave an example of someone coming in Shawwal. So am I wrong to say
no, Allah Ta'ala did not, and the Prophet did not say manasik, say al-hajj. Al-hajj ashur ma'lumat, faman farada feehinna. In those months. No.
What you just said, that's from 8 to 13.
No, I said to 10.
Okay.
Not 8. I said from the time he comes, he arrives.
From Shawwal.
Yeah, if he care, if he comes in Shawwal, then there he starts.
Until the 10th.
Until the 10th. And why they mention tent? Because all the arkan, the pillars of Hajj, finished by the tent.
So I was in the question 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Even if he stays maybe on the 13th, after the 13th. But from the person when he lands, he should.
He should avoid it.
Second thing, regarding in Mina, it happened to me last year. On the 13th or the 12th, it's after the date, there was a person who was talking about some qurafah, some bid'ah in the tent, given da'wah. And I was sitting there, and I heard him, and I spoke to him, and I was trying not to go into Khutamat and Jidal, but he sort of went. Should I have listened to the batil and kept quiet, or what I did was correct? This was on the 13th of
October. You should have clarified the haq, and if he doesn't stop and still telling the people the batil, then you call the special department, to take it. Because now you are doing Amr ibn Ma'ruf and Nahy an Munkar, and you are not making jidal argument with him. You told him the haq, like what happened in the year that now he worked with us, in Hajj with Iqbal and the brothers, all. And next to our tent, there were people from Holland, but Arabs. And one of them was speaking very, completely wrong in Egyptian. He was saying that he was speaking against the Muslim government and like that, and even here the Muslim government, that they are not Muslims. And then he also spoke about something very wrong, and he said that we come for Hajj because Ibrahim came for Hajj, and that's why, and Ibrahim has the highest rank, and that's why we ask Allah to raise Muhammad to the level of Ibrahim. In the tashahud you say, Salli ala Muhammad, kama salli ala Ibrahim. Say we say, I said, Akhi, what do you say is wrong? He said, how come wrong? You understood it this way? I gave a khutbah in the United States 3 hours, and people were listening. No one understood this. I said, because there were no one awake. They all slept. 3 hours, they must be sleeping. 3 hours talking to them and they did not sleep, they must be sleeping now. And that's why nobody hears you saying that. Otherwise, no one will accept from you to say that Muhammad is lower than Ibrahim. So, then I said to him, he started arguing. I said, look, I told you the haq. If you don't take it, up to you. But if I hear you teaching people like this, I'll bring the police. You understand? Then I left them. So if they don't stop by that, you treat them. And be serious and bring the police if we return back. Allah.
Can we do jidal on the 11th and 12th on the 13th?
No, it's a teaching not to, it's an exercise to avoid jidal at all. But some ulama said jidal about the Hajj itself. But jidal, jidal is described in the Quran, and in the other ayah, wala tujadil, in this ayah, wala tujadil ala kitab illa billati ahsan. Now, so if it is a normal discussion, you say no, but it is like this discussion. It's not jidal, not a real jidal. Allah.